The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
The 9 till noon show, brought to you by Kelly's Toyota. With over 50 years of experience, trust us to help you on your electric journey.
Okay, you're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. And what a morning that has been in terms of the commute and getting to work. And I'm sure many of you are currently still stuck in and around the towns of the county and the region. I'd say particularly in Letterkenny, the approach is not good at all, requires a great deal of patience. And I think schools or childcare or places of employment, people will be arriving.
Milford
late.
Tiles at Milford okay. Retail Park.
We're still having issues. Still having issues with the computer. We'll get back to that in a second.
Stock 15%.
All right, okay, that's all sorted. Probably my fault, probably the weather. I haven't a clue. All right, the programme is live now, so that means our lines are open. 0860 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 0860 25000. Now give us a call on 07491 25000. If you want to email, it's comments at highlandradio.com. And feel free to watch the show. We are streaming live, as always, across our social media. We're on the YouTube app. If you are at home, don't forget you can watch that on your smart TV or your Fire Stick, and we're across Facebook as well. Right, not as many papers in as normal today because of presumably delivery issues. We'll start with the Irish Times, and the government's reporting a target-beating 12.8 billion Exchequer surplus last year on the back of record tax haul, providing Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael with a greater scope to commit to the big ticket investment in areas such as housing as they resumed coalition talks yesterday. 12.8 billion excess. The year-end Exchequer return published by the Department of Finance showed total tax receipts soared almost 23% to a record €108 billion last year. The increase was driven by the transfer of almost €11 billion from Apple after the Court of Justice of the European Union ruled in September that the iPhone maker owed the state billions in back taxes and interest. All told, about €14 billion of Apple monies is expected to transfer, but the government had previously only calculated accounting for €8 billion of this in 2024. So money to burn, it would seem. And I think, you know, that's all well and good, but the basics remain the same. It feels a little gaslighting if you're struggling to pay your bills, to meet your rent, or if you're lucky enough to have a house to rent, to be told that the country's incredibly wealthy, but it doesn't feel like that to you. So if they can get that money trickle down to improve people's lives and give people the opportunity to rent or own a home affordably, then the government will be very successful. Enoch Burke was back at school yesterday, but of course he's prevented from doing so by a court order. It's going to cost him quite a bit of money. This is in the Irish Independent. School teacher Enoch Burke has once again turned up to the County Westmeath school he was sacked from. He arrived driven by another man at 9:15 a.m. Normally his father would take him to school, but he's himself incarcerated. Temperatures were around 0 degrees. Frost lay on the ground. Mr. Burke then took up his usual position outside the school, which opened yesterday for the first day of term after the Christmas holidays. Now owing the state €193,000 in unpaid fines for breaching court orders, the controversial school teacher was released from jail by the High Court on December 20th last. He had been suspended and later dismissed by the Board of Management at the Wilson's Hospital School after publicly clashing with its then principal over a request that teachers address a transgender child by a new name and they-them pronouns. Mr. Burke, who is from a family of well-known evangelical Christians, refused to do so on religious grounds. The judge who released him last month, despite the teacher not purging his contempt, said it was his opinion that Mr. Burke was exploiting his imprisonment for his own ends. But he was there, so I don't know. I think there's a level of support for Mr. Burke in the actions that he's taking. I suppose when you contravene a court order, it gets a little bit more complicated. And of course, too, there comes a point whereby, you know, you have to think of his well-being to be turning up somewhere where he's precluded from being so, but also the impact on teachers and pupils. So there's a lot going on there. It's a complicated story. Our last paper this morning is the Irish Daily Star, and it's focusing on If you're not on X or you don't read much news, you may not be too well aware of this, but this Tommy Robinson is a very controversial character. He's in prison himself, actually, for breaching a court order, though it's been framed that he's a political prisoner because he was exposing these Pakistani rape gangs in Britain. But actually, he libeled someone, was found liable for that, published a video that contained the false accusation and ended up in prison. But Elon Musk, the world's richest man and owner of the X platform, is a big fan of his and has rode in great with great force and gusto to the whole controversy over the rape gangs that are over there. They're called grooming gangs, but it went far beyond that. And I think that actually lessens the what happened in Britain, an awful situation. But anyway, Keir Starmer is also in Elon Musk's sights, which is kind of complicated because he's going to be advisor to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump wants a good relationship with Keir Starmer. So how it plays out, I don't know. But I'll read on here in the Star. After facing a string of vile attacks by Elon Musk, Keir Starmer finally hit back over claims on child grooming gangs. The furious British MP warned, or PM, warned lies spread by the far right and amplified by the Tesla tycoon are putting politicians at risk, as he revealed Labour MP Jess Phillips had been a target of threats. Donald Trump's key advisor Musk had accused Mr. Starmer of being complicit in the crimes of sex offenders after refusing to launch a fresh inquiry into grooming gangs. It's not the first time Musk has waded into politics outside the US. In November, of course, Musk claimed after the Dublin riots, then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar hates the Irish people. Musk was responding to an ex-user who claimed the government was using the riots as a springboard to introduce hate speech legislation. Musk's ex, formerly Twitter, also clashed with then-Justice Minister Helen McEntee over its role in the riots. So there's a lot going on there. X is a place that I no longer really frequent because it's not a very nice place to be. But anyway, lots of you perhaps do and are following that with a lot of interest. Would you know what's happening at the mountaintop? Cars not moving and a long tail back. Well, that's precisely why I literally just walked in off the street and into this chair. I don't know. I believe it's just things are moving more slowly because of the frost and because of the ice. But an hour I was sat between, well, to get 500 metres, it took an hour. So hopefully it's clearing for the rest of you now. We're joined on the programme now by Andrea Redmond. Andrea, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg, and a very happy new year to you and Caroline and staff
yes,
and the team.
Yes, happy new year to you too. Thank you very much that. Right, you are highlighting, and we're really talking again about a road that you believe there's a very strong argument for it to be included on the gritting programme.
Yes, I'm talking about the road. If people know Doherty Village, there's a road from the village to Lecture. So from the village, say, to Clark and Shop. Now, this is a road that would never in the past have been gritted. And we had a huge issue in the last couple of years, especially last year was very, very bad, where it was iced and people couldn't get out of their houses for about a week. But it's a road that we are asking, you know, in this morning I'm talking about Dury, but I'm sure I could be speaking for a lot of other wee areas that would ask council to consider that they be gritted. Now, this road, it is expanded in the last number of years. We've had new builds. We have, you know, a number of businesses on the air in the area. We have B&Bs. We have two village shops. A lot of pensioners. Last year, the situation was carers couldn't get into vulnerable pensioners. You know, people couldn't get out to their jobs and that. People would use that road coming from Lecture to go through Durham to go to Funtown or to go to try and access the main road to Dunlow or Glenties. You know, and I know councillor considering, you know, new routes to be gritted, and we would really highlight, you know, that the need for this. Now, I know my colleague Janice Ward last night had a wee look, and we figured there's about 140 homes, you know, on that road, and as I said, businesses and that type of thing. So we would ask council, and I think they are going to reconsider and look at you know, roads to be gritted, and we would ask that they consider this road here. As a matter of some priority.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the population of this county is growing. It's spreading out a little bit. Yeah. I mean, are we still you know, trying to divvy up our resources for the same amount of kilometres, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't know the answer to this question, but surely there comes a point where we need to grit more roads, you know what I mean? Not sort of
100%.
Not sort of take one road out of the programme and add another one, or maybe we're doing that already, but at the end of the day, if there are major routes that have expanded and require these type of services, well, then surely we have to put in extra resources to make sure that the roads are safe to travel on and that there's access.
You're 100% right. It's not a case of it taking it away from another road. It's a case of, you know, we're told that with climate change and so forth, and I don't want to get into that argument, but that the weather will, you know, get like this and might get kind of Canadian-like temperatures and that. So we need to think in the future. And, you know, by the grace of God, last year, nobody was seriously hurt. But, you know, it was a huge inconvenience for people. And, you know, people couldn't get to hospital appointments and things like that. But while I'm saying this, you know, the decision is made up the chain in council. And I can't come on here without saying there's a massive thank you to the road service, to the workers who are out at the crack of dawn, gritting the roads, ploughing, you know, and even think people like the carers and that are on the road, the bus drivers, the posties, in conditions like this. But we really need to think about infrastructure and essential services. If the weather is going to get like this, and, you know, we've seen this year after year, council needs to look at, you know, maybe expanding the services. And where they get the money, well, I'm not sure. But as one of the elderly residents said to me yesterday, she says, I've been paying the taxes all my life. And she lives in this road, and she was locked in for nearly a week last year.
Yeah, that's what frustrates people because, you know, and I'm not pitching one part of the county to another, but people expect maybe the same delivery of services for their tax euro in Dookery as they might in the Twin Towns.
Yes. Well, we understand that, you know, the major routes need to be focused on right away, you know, but then think about, you know, areas that maybe have the population density has grown and has changed. And I'm not sure the last time that they looked at gridding and what is the secondary and what is the major route. But, you know, I myself grew up in Canada, so I'm well used to these kind of conditions. So, I mean, but there's a lot of people couldn't get to hospital appointments yesterday. I had difficulty getting to the hospital, you know, and we really need to think about the vulnerable and our neighbours. And so I've just asked council to consider, you know, some of the new routes. I think they're meeting today, according to Brian Carr, they're meeting today to discuss it. And if they would put this wee road and maybe some of the others on the agenda, you know.
Yeah, I get you. Okay, well, you've made a very compelling, strong argument, and I'm sure there's many would feel, Andrew, they could do the same for their areas.
Oh, 100%.
The roads are so bad this morning, even the routes that are being treated are dangerous and very hard to travel on. But we're speaking more generally rather than just today specifically. Yes. But, Andrea, thanks for your time.
Oh, no, nice I don't want to spit. Yeah. Oh, you're very welcome.
No, thank you so much for your time. Take care. Andrea Redmond there making her argument for the road from Dookery to Clerkenshop to be gritted. They've been trying it for years and nothing has come of it since. We were talking about the surplus. How much is the national debt? Any surplus goes to paying off the debt. We got bailed out. We got bailing out the banks in 2008. I think we've recouped quite a bit of the money was spent bailing out the banks, if I'm not mistaken, between various options that were there. So we have a huge surplus. Every country, not a huge surplus, a huge debt. Every country does. I think it's around about 50 odd grand per person, and that is being written down. But it doesn't work like you might do at home, where you know, you have a windfall and then you pay off a bit of your mortgage. It's not really done like that on a national scale. Morning, Greg. Please discuss gritting back roads today. School bus going towards the cross with loads of students slid into the ditch this morning. Students were terrified. It's got going again, but a bit of grit. And all would have been avoided. Indeed, we can't have a situation, can we? Or maybe weather like this is so infrequent that we will effectively shut down every time there's this level of snow and ice. And it's got to get really cold tonight and tomorrow, by the way, folks. A caller says, conditions are poor and cars are struggling to reach Mina Roy from the Fintown side. Currently, about 12 to 15 vehicles are stationary. The gritter made another pass at 8:40 a.m. So that's an update there. Keep them coming into us as well, by the way, wherever you are across the region. What's it like in your area? What would be useful for us to pass on to people who might be out and about? Right, let's go back to this road Andrea was talking about. Councillor Michael McClafferty is with us. Right, OK. We were talking there to Andrea, and you've an insight, obviously, as an elected rep, Michael. Good morning to you. Happy New Year, by the way. What is the situation?
Good morning, Greg. Same to yourselves and the listeners. The situation is basically, Greg, as such, in relation to Andrea's Road and many other roads here, as such, for Andrea's Road to get gritted, it'll mean somewhere else possibly coming off. That's the reality of it. Now, as Andrea says there, I wasn't aware of the meeting there this morning that she talks of. That's fair enough. Maybe something extra will come out of that meeting. But I know from our previous meetings prior to this, Greg, from before, for various roads that were raised, I can't just say now, I don't recall that particular road being raised that Andrea's mentioned there, but in past meetings, roads were raised that weren't being gritted, and the situation was for them to get gritted somewhere else to be taken off, because the reality is we're only allowed extra amount of kilometres in each MD for gritting per year for winter, and that's where the problem
lies.
But
that is the problem, isn't it? Because if you talk about how you can serve the population per lorry load of grit, obviously you go into your Letterkenny area, you go into the Twin Towns area, Donegal Town, you're serving an awful lot of people there. But, you know, the same resources aren't going to go as far in servicing areas in, say, for instance, the Glenties electorate area. So why do we have these finite resources? Why not expand our resources to make sure we can get more people's roads gritted? You know, why are we robbing Peter to pay Paul? Why aren't we investing more to ensure more roads are able to be treated?
Well, Greg, to be fair, that's what we're told all the time from Lifford. That is the situation from Lifford. The budget comes to Lifford in relation to the gritting and so on, and when it comes to it then, they only have extra amount of money to go around the roads. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't know what's going to come out of today's meeting. Will any more money come out of that? Will any funds be found for Andrea's Road? Hopefully, yes. But at the same time, will it mean taking somewhere else off? I have no idea. I don't know. But that is the reality of it. It possibly may get gritted, but it possibly then somewhere else will.
Yeah, but we need to move past that. Why should one area be disadvantaged so another area people can get to school, carers can get in and people can get to hospital? I mean, it's 2024. You know what I mean? Why not then say, right, we need to increase our resources in these areas?
Well, we are saying that all the time, Greg, myself and my five colleagues, the six of us, the Glenties six, are saying that all the time every autumn when this starts, like these meetings start, but it's just not happening from central government. We are not getting Donegal as a whole, a county, not just the Glenties MD or Dungarry or Andy's talking about, but the whole of Donegal, as such, the Glenties MD, is not getting a big enough share of the pie to cover the kilometres of road that's in it, and that's the reality.
Okay.
At the moment.
All right. Thanks.
And I'm sorry, Greg. I don't have any other answer. Okay. Only what I'm explaining to you.
Appreciate it. Take care of yourself, Councillor Michael McClafferty. There. So today, I came from the north of the county today, and say from Termon to the mountain top would have taken an hour and 20 minutes for me anyway. Ken's on the roads. What's your situation, Ken? You're coming from another direction. It's not good though.
It's not good. I'm coming from Ballyar. I just joined the mountaintop road down at the petrol station at Ellistron. That was almost an hour, actually more than an hour ago.
Yeah.
And I'm still not on the mountaintop.
And I don't think it's going to improve for you at all, Ken, because I sat on that stretch of road for over an hour this morning as well, and it's just not moving.
Yeah. I'm on the inner lane. The inner lane isn't moving at all. The outer lane is moving a little bit because I'm seeing buses and so on passing me and then disappearing. So the outer lane seems to be moving somewhat, which may be causing it to block the inner lane. I don't know.
The problem is when you get
to seem to be getting off.
No, when you get to the mountain top, there's so much traffic going in different directions on that roundabout. It's just trying to get five or six lanes into one. It's a nightmare. I don't know how it can be resolved. Have you any insights, having had plenty of time to sit there and think about it, Ken?
Well, you know, the thought that comes to me is the traffic through this town could have been solved a very long time ago by a bridge being built somewhere down on the edge of the town. So to bypass people coming in from the Romelton side of town, you know, to if people are trying to go through the town, you have to go into the town to get out of town.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, like, so if you're coming from Dunlow, if you're coming from Dunlow and you're going to Derry, you know, you're sat in this traffic as well. It's pointless, isn't it? It's useless. And you're going to the
ATU,
and I mean, whatever's holding you up at the bottom of mountaintop that you're at now, it's going to hold you up all the way out to the ATU. I don't fancy your chances of getting there before 11.
Well, but I don't know about this morning, because, as I say, I haven't got past the roundabout yet. But normally, this can happen in the morning on a normal day if you hit it at the wrong time.
Mm.
But once you get through the roundabout at the mountaintop, it opens up.
Right.
Because people are going to America, to the hospital and so on. So that part of the journey normally doesn't take long. I'm hoping that's the same today.
Fingers crossed, Ken. I am going to ask you to fire us a text when you get to the ATU, because I know our listeners will be on tenterhooks waiting to find out what time you actually got to work.
Yeah. I pity the poor students trying to make it in for exams today. I don't know what the situation is there.
Well, you see, this is it.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Listen, Ken, stay safe. Stay safe, because there's a bit of grip issues as you go up the mountaintop, so be careful. Thanks very much for your time.
Oh, I can feel that, yeah.
All right,
cheers.
Take care of yourself, Ken. Bye-bye. Anne was on the roads yesterday, was down in Galway. Anne, good morning to you. How are you keeping?
Good, Greg. Good morning.
Right, so you took on the journey to Galway from Letterkenny and back yesterday for an appointment at the hospital in Galway. What was it like?
Yeah, the roads were treacherous. Like, they were fine, leaving Letterkenny. That's why we decided to carry on with the appointment and not cancel it. Mm. But we got as far as the gap and we stopped because it started to snow, and we thought, well, we won't wait. But we thought we'd go as far as Donegal Town and see, and because it was an important appointment that we had to keep, and we'd been waiting a long time for it. And then the roads were fine until we got, maybe just till we come off the Dublin Road outside Sligo, and they were really bad. And we met two gritters on our whole journey, the whole way to Galway and back, and the roads were really treacherous. Like, and we couldn't believe it. We were waiting away for these gritters, and even snowplows outside Knock Airport was really bad. But we met one on our way down and another on our way back. The one that we met on the way back yesterday evening was coming through the gap in Donegal. But
God, you were a long way. You were a long way up the road before you saw your second one, weren't you? And I mean, we get the notifications here from the council, and it's normally 6 p.m., 8 p.m. And more often than not, it's not until the following morning and then the full day before we see grit again. And it doesn't last in an incredible amount of time. You're suggesting, are you, and especially for us who have to go to Galway on occasion just for medical care, that there should be more actively gritting throughout the course of the day?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, there's like people, like as someone was speaking earlier, saying that there's essential workers that have to go to work, have to go on calls. Like, you know, there's like, nurses in the community and, you know, doctors that are calling out to patients and other essential workers that have to go out on the roads, like in these conditions. Like, so that needs to be looked at. There needs to be more gritters, like, throughout the day. It's not just morning, and people aren't just travelling in the morning and the evenings. Like, it's...
Yeah, for sure. Well, listen, hopefully everything went okay yesterday for you, Anne. You were on the road for 9.5 hours, so I'd say you slept last night. Well, hopefully you did.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Take care, Anne. Thanks very much indeed. God bless you. A caller says, I just came down Mina Roy. It's clear, but I'd avoid it if you really don't need to travel. Another caller asks, was anyone know of the local link buses? Are they running this morning, in particular the Maville to Derry bus that stops at Quigley's Point and Muff Village? Anyone out there know that? Maybe the driver or someone who's operating that service knows. Would anyone know of the local link buses? Are they running this morning, particularly the Maville to Derry bus that stops at Quigley's Point and Muff Village? 9:20, queue from Illestrin School to Mountain Top. Illestrin, yeah, okay. You're going to be on that road a long time, I'm sorry to inform you, unless traffic further up the hill begins to ease, but you're going to be sitting there for quite some time. Let us know when you get to the mountaintop. 9:20, they're sitting there at Illestrin School. Maybe I didn't do too bad after all. Another caller asks, what's the story with the traffic on the mountaintop? I've been sitting in it now for 50 minutes. It just can't be the snow. I think it is. I really think it is because, Caroline, what's the name of the two roads that come into to that roundabout? You know, not from Inistrin and not the mountaintop. There's two other roads that come into it. The Balliar, yeah, and the other one, right? The problem is those roads have a lot of traffic on them anyway, and they're, generally speaking, getting priority. So you might be sitting down at Inistrin and 30 cars could have gone through and you haven't moved an inch, and I think that's part of the problem. Right, Julie's with me now. Julie, how are you getting on?
Hi, Greg. I left Kilmacrenan over an hour ago and I still haven't reached the mountaintop. Oh. So there's a lot of us here on the road this morning.
It's just not going anywhere. And you're wondering, are you, what could be done to try and move it on? Gardaí, maybe? Do they have a role here? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, well, I was hoping it could come out because, I mean, I use this road every day and there usually is a bit of a build-up as traffic kind of flies up on the right-hand lane approaching the mountaintop and slows down the left-hand lane. So today, obviously, it's worse with the weather and it's just bringing the left-hand lane to a standstill. So it is a traffic flow problem as well, not just the weather.
It really is because what any the way that road works, and sorry for listeners outside of the area, but I'm sure you'll be familiar with this road. The right-hand traffic is always going to have priority because it has to get in. So if a car flies up the right-hand side, you know, you are going to be, and you sit in the left, Julie, you are going to always be behind that car, and that's the problem. And then at the top, at the mountaintop, you've got effectively like four lanes trying to go into one.
Yeah, that's right.
What could be done, do you think? Have you had an opportunity to think, Julie? Because at the end of the day, it is always a case of those two lanes going into one at the top.
I really don't know. It's the amount of traffic trying to get through Letterkenny at the moment. It's just too much. We don't have the infrastructure, I think, to cope with the amount of traffic.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you're going into Letterkenny, Julie, but there's a lot of people around you that are probably heading to Donegal Town, to Ballyshannon, to Derry, Strabane, to Lifford. They've no business in Letterkenny, but they're stuck with you.
Yeah, just trying to get through. Yeah, that's it.
All right. It's exacerbated by the weather, Julie, but you're a regular user of this road. You don't think it's just all about the weather?
No, it's not. No, at certain times, the traffic is just really, really jammed, particularly at that mountaintop roundabout. So something needs to be done there. I don't know what the problem is. There's lots of engineers out there probably could come up with a good solution. Okay. But something needs to happen.
All right, Julie, keep the radio on. We'll let you know if we hear anything. Thank you very much for your time. Safe journey. The Minor Road, says a listener, were gritted in the 1950s. Obviously, it's backwards we're going. Wow, okay. Greg, why are schools down the country closed and in Donegal we have to get on with it? Roads are terrible. The gritters are out, but with snowfall on top of it and it's freezing. Well, the schools make the call. I suppose it's about if the majority of students can safely get in and if teachers can get in. Obviously, there's lots of people who are at work and they really need the children to be in school, because if they weren't in school, there's a big issue with childcare and the knock-on effect that can have on jobs and industry. So I think they'll always try and keep the schools open as much as they can. It's very, very bad down the country. It really is. The weather's terrible in some parts. Snow a foot deep. It's freezing over the top of it now, and it's going to be like that for a couple of days, it would seem. 100%. Support for Mr. Burke. Greg is a woke supporter. This is all turning now. Trudeau has gone too. Actually would be one of the furthest from woke that you would find. I do believe in law and order, though. I know why Mr. Burke is in prison. I know why people support his stance based on religious grounds. He made that stance, but you can't force yourself to continue to be in a job when you fall out with your bosses and are deemed to be disruptive and you're sacked, which is effectively what happened. Lots of people would support Mr. Burke and say he did the right thing. He stuck by his morals. He's a true hero. But at the end of the day, and I'll get abuse for pointing this out again, whilst the disciplinary process is ongoing, he's still employed at the school and paid by the school because he's appealing his dismissal. He has been told by the courts that he's not allowed to go to a place he's not wanted. They don't want him there anymore. And he still continues to go there. And the outcome is going to be the exact same. He's eventually going to end up back in jail. Is it because he called or refused to call a student they, them? Or is it because eventually he fell out with the management, the relationship soured to the point whereby he was disciplined and then sacked? He's appealing that, and he's going through that appeal process under full pay. And the courts have said he can't go near the school while that process is ongoing, and he continues to do so. I don't know. I don't think he's doing himself any favours. I think he could make his point now at this point without doing what he's doing. But am I woke? No, I wouldn't say so. Right, OK, let us take a break. Keep your calls and comments coming into us. Now, sexually transmitted infections, or STIs, were on the rise in 2024. It follows a huge uptick the year before, with Ireland not set to reach its targets of eliminating sexual diseases by 2030. There have been increases in chlamydia, gonorrhea, herpes, syphilis and HIV. Dr. Derek Friedman is a specialist consultant in sexual health and sexually transmitted diseases, and he's with me now. Good morning, Derek. Thank you very much for your time.
Great pleasure. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very good.
How is the cold weather affecting sex life in your area of Ireland?
I'm sure we're still incredibly active, doctor. Now, just in terms of what's leading to these increases, do we know what might be the cause, doctor?
Well, I mean, that's a very broad question. I mean, people like sex, and people are less inhibited about sex, and people are more open about sex. It's it's a basic instinct. It's a basic hunger for life. And if you think of the many of hundreds of thousands of sex acts that take place every night in Ireland, very, very few, you know, a minute proportion end up with the problem. Mm-hmm. But of course, when this problem occurs, it can be devastating, and it can affect the sense of well-being and worth of a person.
Of course.
And of course, the worst thing, it has the potential to pass on to other people.
But I'm not sure we're having more sex in 2024 than in 2023, but yet we are seeing increases in STIs. So surely there something is changing.
No, I mean, it's not that so much things are changing. This has just been a steady increase, and we're also very much more aware of the potential for infection. People are coming forward to get screened and get tested, because, as you know, these infections are completely silent. Mm. You wouldn't know you had an infection in the majority of cases unless you come in and get tested. I mean, basically, people are presenting because they've had an episode of sex which they feel unhappy about. They feel it's been risky. They feel it's been put them to risk of infection, and they come forward and get tested. Some people get tested as a routine before they start a new relationship, and sometimes these things are just completely accidental. We're seeing an awful lot of genital herpes, where the transmission is from the mouth of somebody who may not even know they have a cold sores or a history of cold sores, and then that's transferred to the genitals. And if it's the first time it hits the genitals, it can cause a massive and painful eruption.
I seem to recall, when I was a younger doctor, an awful lot of public messaging in relation to protecting yourself, the wearing of condoms and what have you. I don't seem to be exposed to that as much. I'm not sure if I'm not the demographic that's being targeted now, or else we've maybe taken our eye off the ball in that regard. So people can express themselves as much as they like, but are they protecting themselves as much as they should?
I think you've hit the nail on the head. And this is where, you know, having an item like this on your program is so valuable to increase awareness. There's a total lack of public health awareness and public health messaging about sexually transmitted infections, about the potential risks and the need to be screened. I mean, when HIV/AIDS was a huge fear in the 1980s, there was a dramatic decline in the incidence of all the sexually transmitted infections because people were aware of the dangers of unprotected sex and sex with somebody who you don't know so well.
The one thing also we have now is platforms where we can target, we can actually literally target the groups that we know that are more exposed to STIs. What platforms are used, be it TikTok or Facebook or Snapchat or what have you. So the tools are there for a very effective public campaign, I would imagine, if the will were there.
The tools are there, but in fact you're omitting the most important platforms, which are the dating platforms.
Yeah, true.
Because there's an ideal location where people who are seeking sex, seeking relationships, where they can be informed. But these platforms don't contain any messages or any warnings or any helplines for people to know what to do if they're anxious about infection. These apps are can be tremendous, Tinder and Grindr, and these apps can be tremendously helpful to help people meet, because most people now are remaining single well into their 30s and they don't want to go to the disco scene so much. They really are tending to meet much more through dating apps. And these apps don't carry any safeguard warnings. I mean, you know, you buy a bottle of alcohol, you buy a packet of cigarettes, and you'll see a health warning on it. Mm. The dating apps should do that. I mean, they can be very useful to help people make relationships, and people have made very good relationships on them. But I've often said, if you're putting your profile up, put on no sex the first night.
Yeah, and also too, it's about getting the information out there that is from the HSC, the services from the HSC, public STI clinics offering free testing and treatment. I wouldn't know where they are locally. Is that information publicly available?
Of course it is. All you do have to just Google it, and you know, you have to do a search engine, you'll find it very quickly. The HSC has a lot of extremely good information available, but unfortunately, their clinics don't, they're overwhelmed with the number of people attending them and the number of cases. So there can be a long waiting list. People get very anxious and they want to be seen immediately, particularly if they have a symptom like a discharge, a sore, or a rash or something of that nature. So, I mean, the services are there, but they're not adequate. But that goes for the whole of the health system.
Okay. And do you think, I saw one headline which suggested there was a stigma around testing, which would be unfortunate if that's the case. I think anyone who's sexually active, not protecting themselves, particularly if it's with multiple partners, really needs to check themselves or get themselves checked.
I don't think there's any stigma about testing, frankly. That was something that went out in the 1980s with Gay Byrne and the Late Late Show. People are aware of the need to be tested. There's anxiety about testing, and there's anxiety about confidentiality, but confidentiality is totally guaranteed in all the services provided, both public and private.
Dr. Derek Friedman, thank you very much for your time. He's a specialist consultant in sexual health and sexually transmitted diseases. Okay, an hour and 10 minutes from the start of the climbing lane to the radio station. I could have texted this one in. The slow drag seems to be until the new hospital. The bigger issue is the amount of people taking the outside lane and bulldozing their way in. Then I came the back of Ergel and it wasn't as bad. Okay, thank you for the update there. Yes, that's exactly what the problem is people use the outside lane coming up from Illustrin. And when they get to the top, the horse on the indicator and in they go. I went the back road from Kilmacrenan to Glen Carr to avoid Mountain Top. Not gritted, but passable. I got new tyres yesterday. Fair play to you. Hi, do you know what the Cullion Road is like for snow and ice this morning? Could you ask your listeners? Of course we can. That's what we're here for. What is the Cullion Road like out there, everybody? There's fresh snow in Meanaroy and Glen Swilly. Meanaroy is dangerous. Please avoid if possible. We've had a few messages along those lines. Morning, Greg. In terms of traffic in Letterkenny, we need to try and hire planners from efficient countries like the Netherlands, Sweden, Germany. I would say we're an absolute laughingstock in Europe with our infrastructure. Years of nepotism has caused half of this. Okay, I'm not sure the connection with nepotism, but I actually probably can figure it out what you mean. Greg, how many times a year does snow fall? People have to expect delays. You need to stop complaining. There'll be no new roads built this year or next year, so get on with it safely. Yes, but I understand what you're saying, but we can't have preparedness for these situations. You know, there's no harm in talking about it now. If you keep making the same mistakes over and over again, it's one of the symptoms of insanity, I believe. You know, we aren't doing everything perfect so that when the snow falls, everything works as best as it can. Some people are entitled to vent. Hi, Greg. Tell him same government, same lack of disrespect for Donegal. All right. With the surplus money consideration, says another listener, it should be given to upgrading and providing road clearing equipment. Every year we have the same conversations. Dangerous roads with great difficulty accessing hospitals, workplaces, schools closed. And unless they themselves work in schools, parents are forced to take on paid leave, which is the point I was trying to make earlier on. This has the knock-on effect of essential services being short-staffed. Kathleen, thank you for your time. Greg, I meant to say that the piles of sand which the council leave for residents would need a JCB or stick of dynamite to access. They're frozen solid as there isn't any salt and villagers are unable to use them, which if they could would support council in the roads. There are piles everywhere like large carbuncles along the road and totally unusable. We requested plastic containers from the council but haven't had any reply. That comes back in from Andrea. I suppose you'd hope maybe there's someone locally with a tractor that could jam the link box in and free it up a little bit. I don't know. It's not a perfect solution by any stretch. Bad form from ATU Letterkenny students having to travel over an hour for exams, knowing what the weather was to be like, should have been cancelled until next week. If they don't sit them, they'll have to resit them in August, which for some it's too late. My daughter has a second interview for a job in Letterkenny starting in May when college is over, but has had to travel, but has to have all exams complete if she did get the job. Terrible pressure on them. It is, but there's going to be... Is there going to be a case too, though? There's an awful lot of students attending ATU that live in the local area, maybe? I don't know. I wouldn't like to make that call. And I was chatting to a principal there not so long ago, not of ATU, but a school, and they're faced with making the decision. It's one they don't enjoy having to make because it'll suit some, and for others it's an incredible convenience if you were to defer opening or exams or whatever it might be. Councillor Jimmy Brogan is an independent. He's with me now. Councillor, good morning to you. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Greg. How's it going?
Not too bad at all. Right. The latest data has given us an indication into the level of homelessness, and it's risen in Donegal. I'll just let the listeners know, 72 people homeless in Sligo, 62% in Donegal, while in Leitrim there were 15 people. Now, these are all individuals. I suppose if you take the greater number, close on 15,000, it's a relatively small percent of the national total. But is that a true reflection of the housing crisis and the housing difficulties our people are in, Jimmy?
No, it's clear it's not. You know, I've been in touch with people going back now the last couple of years. And there's lots of people in Donegal, and we all know them. They're living with friends and relatives, or their granny, or you know, staying sofa surfing and things like that. You know, and there's a lot of people that aren't on the statistics. You know, but they just don't have a place that they can call home. The cost of rents has gone through the roof. You know, availability of housing, the cost of actually buying a house now is colossal. You know. And I think it's clear, really, that the figures that we get, you know, they're the people that are in homeless accommodation and stuff like that. But there's hundreds of people and maybe thousands of people that fall outside the figures. You know, that they can't afford the rent and they can't get on the council housing list. You know.
Yeah. And also too, you talked about the cost of a house, the cost of rent. I never thought I would see the day where average rent costs in Donegal would be over €1,000. I just never thought it would be the case. That's me being naive, don't get me wrong, but that's forcing lots of people, as you say, to couch surf, to live in rooms, box rooms in homes, and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's colossal. I remember when I was renting a house years ago before I got married. You pay, €100 a week. As you say, the average now is way over 1,000. If you're renting, if you're a family renting a three-bedroom home, The price is just out of your reach, you know. And you know the council housing list, you know, the rates the people allowed to earn, the means assessment, you know, is just too low, you know, because if you earn over 30,000, you're not getting on the council housing list, which means, you know, get no government support, you know. Yeah. So you know, that needs to be looked at, you know, and like the cost of rent in general needs to be looked at, you know. I think some sort of rent cap needs to be introduced, like, you know, but from the government, you know. But listen, at the end of the day, it's the government's responsibility to make sure these things are kept up to date, you know, and they're falling short on it, you know.
On a national level, Jimmy, obviously, you know, if you've got 15,000 homeless, it's not just simply a case of providing 15 units of accommodation. For many people, and not all, and I'm not painting everyone with the same brush, but there could be other issues such as mental health issues, addiction issues, or what have you, and more services are required, wraparound services to give those people, you know, a future under a roof. With all that being said, the numbers, say, for instance, in Donegal, if we can be very parochial for a moment, are 62. And even if that's underestimating the situation by half, it still is a number that we should be able to deal with, isn't it? It is a number that we should be able to provide accommodation for. And if there are additional supports that need to be there to be put in place, you know what I mean? We're not talking 3,000 or 4,000. At the moment, it's 62. And as I say, even if that's an underrepresentation, we should be able to sort it.
Yeah, 62, it's not a massive number when you think of all the people that's on housing waiting lists, you know, around Donegal. So, you know, it should be something that can sort out fairly, fairly easily. But I think, like, 62 houses, it's not that easy coming up with 62 houses either, like, you know. You need a long-term strategy. I know that the government have started building social houses again after years and years of not building any. And that's where the problem came from, really, was the stop building council houses. And then, you know, the people that are in council houses are there in half or something, and they're in the private rental market, like, you know. And, you know, that's just the knock-on effect from that over years and years of bad government decisions. That's put us where we are, like, you know. But, listen, there's things that they can do, you know. There's heaps of, like, every council meeting I go to, we talk about housing. I know we have special meetings in housing. And, like, there's people coming up with good ideas, but we just need the money to you know, the government need to provide the money to, you know, to buy these houses and build these houses, you know.
Yeah, indeed. I think people feel all we do is talk about it, and they don't actually see any action.
Well, at the minute, we have no government. You know, we're 5 weeks after the election, and we're waiting on Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to get their act together, you know, and stop the horse trading and get a government back going. We all know who's going to be in it. It's going to be Israel in attendance, along with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. You know, so five weeks after the election. You know, just get on with it. Like, you know, we know they're all fighting for positions, jockeying for positions to see who's going to be minister for this and minister for that, you know. But, you know, the people can't afford to wait. You know, that's them 62 people that are on that homeless list, you know, plus the rest of the people, you know, they can't afford to be sitting around waiting for the government to get their act together, like, you know, and sort things out. So the government need to, you know, get their act together. They need to form a government as soon as they can and try to get things, you know, sorted out, you know.
All right, but are you frustrated as an elected rep in terms of what's actionable? In other words, you can go in and get your motions passed and all the councillors can agree that we need more houses and we need more houses in this area and that area, but at the end of the day, we are where we're at. Is it frustrating?
It is frustrating because, like, and you can't blame, like, the Donegal town, for instance, there's nearly no empty houses, you know, the housing section in Donegal Town have made sure that all the houses that are available to them are of somebody living in them, you know.
Okay. So
you can't blame the council locally. You know, it all falls back to the government at the end of the day, you know.
Okay.
And it's up to them to make sure that the money is provided, you know, so houses can be built or houses can be bought or whatever is needed, you know.
Thanks for taking the call, Jimmy. Take care of yourself. Councillor Jimmy Brogan there. I'm told the 957 Derry to Mayville bus is 30 minutes late due to traffic in Derry. So that's just a follow-up to an inquiry we had from a listener. Right, okay. We'll be back with more on the 9 till noon show after we take a break for the news and obituary notices. Stay right where you are.